And I think this year they've got over 600 people registered. And it is an important conference. It is the Local Government New Zealand Conference. Now, as you know, we've got 70, just over 70 local territorial authorities in this country. And those are our district councils, our city councils, our regional councils. And they are basically what makes our cities tick. When you turn the lights on in the morning, and when you get up and you get outside and you go drive on the roads and you go to the shops and you go, you go to the park or you go to the library, all of those services that you and I think, well, they're going to be there. Hey, well, guess what? Somebody has to make sure that they're there, has to make sure that they're open, has to make sure that they're fully functioning. And that is the role of local government. So if you don't know enough about it, I would suggest that if you're a ratepayer or even if you rent, you should know, because the local government in every community acts on your behalf. And so that's what's happening in Palmerston North. The local government conference is on. And we have the mayor of Rotorua there. We have actually a contingent from Rotorua there. A number of councillors are there. And, of course, we have our mayor, the Honourable Steve Chadwick. So she's at the conference. And I wanted to talk to Steve about how's it going. And more importantly, is there anything that has amazed her while she's there that she's heard for perhaps the first time? Or is it all just, ho-ha, mundane? I bet it's not. So good evening to you, Stevie. Nice to have you here with our Radio Wātea listeners.
Kia ora, Medipika, and lovely to be on your show tonight. Can you hear me?
Look, Stevie, it is a big conference. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Thank you, Stevie. Clearly. Look, Stevie, it is a big conference. Oh, that's great. Stevie, it is a big conference, and I know that local authorities, they try to get as many members as they can there, because it's important that we know what's going on in their sector and who's doing what, and more importantly, if we can learn from each other. So that would be a big plus to all get together.
Oh, it is fantastic, and it's so much better than doing things by Zoom, which we've struggled from for the last 2 years. So lovely to be back together, but I have to be very honest, Medipeka, I thought I was going to be in Rotorua today with Minister Woods for this huge announcement for Rotorua, and she couldn't get in, so I've had to get in the car and drive here to Palmerston North, but we've all met, and I've had great reports from our councillors who are there, and I heard you talking about, is it the same old same? It appears not. And from our councillors and from Te Tato or Te Arawa, I'm hearing that there was incredible energy 2 days ago with the Maruata, which is the Māori policy arm of Local Government New Zealand. Some amazing speakers, the depth of quality of councillors, actually, and community board members and members like our Te Tato Partnership Board is hugely different than it was even 3 years ago. So that's encouraging because we've been really worried about Māori participation in local government. We haven't in Rotorua, but all of the country is, and now with the new option of Māori wards, there's a lot of interest in this aspect of what we're about as local councils.
Well, yes, Steve, because I understand there's going to be about 30 councils this year in October, on the 8th of October, who will have, for the very first time, a Māori ward. Yes. So I suppose for some people in those communities, that might be quite confronting. They've never seen the need before. They don't know what they're going to get. And I guess they'll be thinking, well, is this going to be a good thing or a bad thing?
And I think what they'll learn, because we're a bit further down the track from our partnership in Rotorua with Te Tato, is that participation at any decision-making table of council makes for better decisions for everybody. And they'll be nervous and a bit anxious if they haven't been as beautifully exposed to a tauranga Māori. But they'll soon see that the sky hasn't fallen in, and actually we're making more enduring decisions that are better for everybody in the long term. So it's not sort of frightening to us in Rotorua, but I'm sure some councils that have made the decision to go with the option of Māori wards, actually they'll be hoping, that great people stand first for those wards, and then they'll learn from one another at the council decision-making table. So it's a great step for New Zealand.
I think so, Stevie. I really do. I think there's a lot of pluses having that diversity of view, but it isn't a diverse view, of course. It's a mana whenua view. And so that's really important, because in some communities who have tried over many years to have even just one Māori elected and as a, you know, have a Māori ward, have one Māori elected so that they could share their knowledge and everybody can be better informed so that they make more informed decisions, and they've been turned down at every corner, at every attempt. So
sad.
It really is good that they're going to have that. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
This is something
it is very
positive.
Sad.
And I think the other, running alongside of all of this, I particularly notice constitutional reform, because we've been testing the boundaries with our own local bill at home in Rotorua. But it is very exciting to hear the bill that Rawiri's sponsoring in the House, that has got good support, I note, too, from the Greens and Labor, about the ability to change electoral rolls for the purposes of local body elections. And that's where we've got really stuck in the past, where we know, for example, for us, 40% of our community identify as being Māori, but they've gone on a roll for the general elections. And then they find for local body, I can't shift roles. And so I think that's another very interesting constitutional shift that's happening in the country as well.
Yes, I think that's very unfortunate, actually, Steve, that they've used the electoral roll, because the electoral roll was never designed for local government participation,
was it? No, it wasn't. And that's why we challenged and came up with our own local bill, saying that we wanted parity and equity. And of course, that's a challenge for government, but they're working through that now with the Attorney General, and we've provided all the information that we can. So we'll see where that goes as well. But I put a dollar around Meripeka. You know, it won't be that long. It'll be in our time. That sort of arrangements that we're promoting won't be threatening, and they'll be accepted across the country.
Yes, yes. I think, yes, what we're doing, you know, what we... So, as they say, you know, initially change happens on the fringes, and then over a period of time it moves more and more into the centre, and then 5 years down the track we'll wonder what the hell was all that fuss about?
What were we even worried about? That's right. So that's an interesting... So Te Marawata sort of reflected all of those conversations, and I hear today there's been... people are really quite excited about what the discussion, the last section of the day was, what is the future of local government? So really going forward to saying, when the three waters transfer over to these entities, what is council left with in terms of leadership? And that's a very interesting discussion. And that will take place over the next 2 years.
Yes, yes. Well, I think we'll be looking at possibly a different entity, or local government might be at local level quite different from what it looks like now.
Oh, very much. Mm. And we've always said that we are the best place to reflect our community views about what they want in these stormwater, drinking water and sewage. We're the best to propose what is best for our community when we work that up with our community. But it's the mechanism that we put to these new entities. That's the mechanism that's giving people a bit of angst at the moment, actually.
Yes. And I know, Stevie, you were saying that there was some good news, because the minister, was to be in Rotorua to make an announcement. So I guess if nobody's heard, you can make that tonight here on the show.
Well, for me, this is fantastic. And for us. at council, because we've done, this has been 2 years in the making, Medipeka, as you know. It hasn't just happened overnight. And the minister just hasn't dolloped out millions of dollars to councils that need help with infrastructure so they can get housing going. We had to do a long burn. We had to work out with government first. We are a moderate growth council and we're not building enough houses to keep up with the pace. Then we had to do a needs assessment with government. And so that brought in all the government agencies for us. And that's where we identified, yes, we have got a housing crisis. And the only way to get out of our crisis is to build. But you can't build in land like we've got in Rotorua without investing in the infrastructure. So today's announcement was we got $84.6 million from the infrastructure fund, that, and that's for stormwater projects to get housing underway. And that's a significant amount of $1 billion that Minister Wood announced today. So I thought I'd be with her, but she couldn't get into Rotorua. So she announced it in Ōtaki. But what does it look like for us? I think it's incredibly exciting. We had a huge infrastructure investment proposal that we took to our community, and we knew that it was going to, you know, we needed millions to do what we want to do to get homes. No way could we rate our ratepayers to pay for that. And so by the minister giving us that huge amount of money, it means that what was a 30-year program to get houses is now, within the next 7 years, we should be able to build up to, not council, but developers and government agencies should be able to build 3,000 homes. So that's fantastic. Big news, and big for us.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. So it doesn't happen overnight. It wasn't a dollop of money to, you know, sort of calm us down because we're getting agitated about social housing. It actually was real money invested in the things under the ground that aren't very exciting, like stormwater and sewage, that we have to manage, especially with the impact of climate change. So that amount of investment's eye-watering for us, because our proposal, we had $220 million. We couldn't pay that over, you know, a couple of years. And getting that $89 million, $84 million, boy, that's brought the whole program forward years for us. So I'm very excited today. But our team's been amazing here.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, look, Stevie, that is, that's the $85 million. If the community would just realise that that is, you know, that is money that we didn't have, that's been made available to us by the government, and now we can start to address, and we have been working on them, of course, solutions for our housing, for the housing. Yes, and so, but just to have that, just to take that pressure off the ratepayers, and be able to bring the program forward, the housing program forward, that is a fantastic outcome, Stevie, and not to be underestimated.
That's right. That's right. And it was a massive amount of work. So it took planners, it took urban designers, it took our infrastructure team that have been working, you know, also to do our business as usual work on sewage schemes that we think are very important, and an upgrade to our wastewater treatment plant. As well, they've been looking at where this infrastructure money should be best spent to help us get housing underway. So it gives us more pace and determination to get homes built. And that will help the pressure that we see in social housing.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Well, I know you've mentioned all of those I know that you've mentioned all of those people, our planners and our team and others who have helped to bring this about. But I always say, Stevie, If it wasn't for you, I doubt whether we'd got it. We would have had it, and certainly not to the extent of the dollar amount that we've that this announcement has made, has identified.
That's right.
I mean, you know, it all comes down to fearless leadership, and you've been there. You've been there for Rotorua. Some people might not recognise it. They'll certainly bloody miss it when it's gone, Stevie.
Well, someone else will pick it up, won't they, Meripeka? And that is what happens. But you've got to make a very clear case to government as a leader, a very clear case. We need help. And we did that 2 years ago, and we have been listened to. And so today's a great announcement. What a pity it couldn't be in Rotorua. But well done, Ōtaki.
Yes, it is. Yes, and that's great. But I do know that there's been about 40 flights cancelled today, Steve. So you know, at least you could get there and drive through the desert road. But no, they've been cancelling flights, and it's been some places have really. It's been such a deluge, and you can just see it on the news. The water just cascading down, and as I was just saying at the introduction.
That's the not sexy stuff that we are responsible for.
That's right. It's making sure that our community works from 24/7. 24/7, you've got a community that's operating as it should. So there's a lot of people involved and a lot of work involved, but it's ongoing and it needs. That's what we want. We want to be able to live in a livable community, in livable communities that suit our needs, and we've got to put the effort in.
That's right. That's right. And I do remember how challenging it was. 2 years ago, if you go back to the weird COVID environment that we're still all adjusting to now, the impact on our economy, the sort of burgeoning out of people needing homes, not from a fault of their own always either. And so the need for government support to work alongside of us and with iwi, our developers and the whole community. I said to people 2 years ago, Meripeka, we do have a plan. And they said, we can't see it. Where are these homes going? And I go, they're not built overnight. And we've got to build our way out of our social housing pressures. And so those other councils today, I'm mihi to them. They've gone through the same process as us. And this is great news that's gone to those councils as well.
Yes, yes, yep. It's ongoing, isn't it? And it takes planning and it takes time. And I sometimes think people think they're going to see instant, houses popping up and diggers and cranes everywhere. Well, that will come, but it does take time. It's never going to
happen. It does.
The situation with housing didn't happen overnight, and the solutions are not going to appear overnight either. It just takes head down and do the bizzo, do the groundwork, and everything should, over a period of time, fall into place.
That's right. And it's great that you're telling the story tonight. So thank you on Māori Media. That's a very important story for New Zealand to hear as well.
Look, thank you very much, Steve, for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
Always very good. And as I say, it's...
And are you on for 2 hours?
Thank you. It comes down to leadership. Pardon?
Did you speak for 2 hours, Meripeka? Oh,
yes. Usually I go till after 10. Oh, you know me, Stevie. I could talk till midnight.
That's great. Well, keep going, and it's wonderful. It's good to know that people like you will be there when I've gone. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
okay.
Stevie.
Bye.
Good to talk with
Talk
you. Have a great time with friends and colleagues.